All right, let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. From ESPN, the Dolphins reporter Cameron Wolf going to join us this morning. Not Wolfie, as Joe Rose tried to get me to say right before.
Cameron. Cameron is.
You tried to kill me there, Cameron.
He goes, what's his name? I go, he goes by Wolfie.
I said Wolf 18 times. He goes, no, it's Wolfie, right before I introduced you. So you almost got introduced as making his debut on our show this morning. Here's Cameron Wolfie. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Man. Cameron, how you doing this morning, man? How's it going?
Good, good. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. We were doing great. Somebody punched me right in the gut yesterday when I found out Xavier Howard wasn't practice. Is he definitely out? What's your thoughts on his chances of playing? If there's any way, does he try to go? Where is he right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's a tough guy, and obviously Adam Gase left the window open by not ruling him out. I know Bobby McCain talked to us in the locker room, and he sounded optimistic that Xavier was going to try to push through it. But a lot of players say that. Players are typically more optimistic than injuries. Otherwise, we didn't see him around the building. I'm not sure if he was going to get some work done, a scope or anything like that.
Yeah.
But the week-to-week term is what sticks with me. You typically don't say week-to-week unless
right.
the guy's out this week.
Right.
We heard week-to-week with Charles Harris, and we didn't see him for a month. So, yeah.
That's not good.
No, that's
that doesn't make me feel
And you're right. That's when he wasn't there, I was like, oh, no, not the scope. Not that stinking MCL scope, please no scope, because you do wonder. He's having a great year. We were talking earlier. He's clearly the best player on the team right now, would you agree, and has been since camp?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, him and Larry McClendon will probably be right there, but I think Xavier, especially what he's done this year, has proven that he's number one on the team.
Cameron, I got a question for you. The blueprint that the Dolphins have had over the last decade or so when they do win a game against the Patriots is getting to that quarterback, getting to Brady, putting pressure on him. They've struggled all season long with a pass rush. How else are you going to stop Brady in that offense if Cam Wake and Quinn and these guys can't get to Brady, or they just haven't been able to do anything almost all season long outside of one or two games when they have a little bit, but so far almost nothing? How do you stop Brady and this team if you can't rush the passer?
That's the formula. It's always been hitting the quarterback and turnover. So, I don't know if they can do it without doing that, because I think the formula to beating this team, particularly with how the offense is playing, is that your defense saves the day for you, and your defense overcomes whatever your offensive struggles were. So I think they're going to need a superhuman day from Cam Wake and Robert Quinn and a lot of those guys. You hope that Xavier Howard will get you a pick or two. Now you have to do without it. One interesting thing I kind of came across looking this week, Cam Wake and Robert Quinn are actually number one and number two in pass rush win percentage based on our ESPN stats. And that was surprising to me given their sack number. So it seems like they're winning up front, they're just not finishing. So
right.
Maybe this is a week where you've got a quarterback who's more of a statue back there. You can see them finishing, and maybe that's the key for, a surprise Dolphin victory.
I want to ask you about another defensive end, and we've kind of given a hall pass to because the veteran defensive ends make a lot of money. What's your take on Charles Harris? 23 games now in his 2 years, two sacks, both last year. The stat sheet is damn near empty on this guy. What's your take on Charles Harris? Is there a chance he can play outside linebacker if this doesn't work?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously been a big disappointment for the Dolphins. Injuries obviously played a factor, like you mentioned. But, you draft a guy in the first round, you expect him to give you something. And too often, Charles Harris is giving him nothing. So I think that, obviously a full offseason, he's going to get another chance because he's a first-round pick. But given a 4-3 scheme, I mean, he came out of college looking like a 4-3 defensive end. He still looks like a 4-3 defensive end. So I know the position change is the first thing you think of when a guy looks like a bust. But honestly, he's just got a playbook. He's a guy who's obviously a speed rusher, but he struggles to, consistently win one-on-one matchups. So whether it's adding a little weight for him this offseason, figuring out different ways to add another pass rush move, he's got to do something or he's drawn very close to that bust territory. And then you start wondering about another first-round pick that the Dolphins have struck out on.
Yeah, boy, and you can't afford it. And you know what's crazy about this, Cam, and you know this. This guy worked his ass off. He was there every day, all off season, for like literally, I think he told me he went to Bahamas for like 3 days or, and then went right back to work, like, because he wanted this to be a big second year and he knew it was a disappointing first year. And here he is shut out with 4 games left. I know he's been injured with the calf muscle and missed a month, but man, it's just tough to see, man. When you're a first round pick, more's expected of you. And so it's disappointing. By the way, just to follow up to that, Devontae Parker with the injury bug. Do they have him back next year, or is it just too much money? They figure they can do better.
I think there's no way he's back at the number that he costs. Given all that's going on with him and Adam Gase's agent, it just doesn't seem like it's the right move for these parties to come back in 2019. Unless Devontae is willing to come back with a significant pay cut and deal with everything that he had previously. But this just seems like a perfect situation where both parties need a fresh start. He obviously wasn't what the Dolphins expected when they drafted him in the first round a few years ago. And he's just not a guy you can trust going forward. So I think, this is the last 4 games of Devontae Parker in Miami.
Boy, these first-round picks. I just sound like I'm trying to depress everybody. I'm not doing it anymore, Zach.
We're staring at it right up in front. Speaking of money, by the way, how much money is it going to take to retain Xavier Howard? And you think that him signing the agent that was Jarvis's agent, you think that's going to get in the way of anything?
Oh, man, they're going to have to back up the boot shop for Xavier. He's going to want top 5, top 10 cornerback money, and he deserves it. The good news for the Dolphins is that it seems like both parties are starting to want a deal early. I know for Xavier, he's coming from an area where he hasn't had a lot of money. So for him to get that first contract is going to be extremely important for him. I think he may be a guy that's willing to get an extension early, and maybe you snip off like $1 million or $2 million to get a deal done early with him. But there's not going to be any, hometown discount or any, shortcut with him, because he is an ascending player, and he's looking like he's going to be one of the top cornerbacks in the league for a long time. So I think the Dolphins should be proactive in that, start having discussions this offseason, and get prepared to pay him, 12, 13, maybe even $14 million a year to keep him.
Cam, wanted to ask you about the combination and the way Gore and Drake have complemented each other. You okay with that? Or would you like to see more Kenyon Drake running the ball, or you like the Frank Gore running between the tackles?
Yeah, it's interesting because, I think all of us came into the offseason thinking, hey, this is Kenyon's big year. This is the year where he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the closest thing the Dolphins have to a star. And it just hasn't happened. I think that Frank Gore has surprised a lot of people with how well he's playing. And obviously he looks like he's, still got a lot of juice. So I think that Adam Gase is smart in rolling with him in that set. But Kenyon Drake is probably the best playmaker they have left on the team. So I would love to see them have more opportunities to get the ball in his hands. He has 8 touchdowns this season. No other Dolphin has 5, more than 5. So I think you're looking at a situation where Kenyon Drake probably, particularly this week, should get the ball more in his hands as a receiver. And then you try to mix him in a little bit more with Gore, because he just gives defenses a different look. He makes them more afraid, because anytime he gets the ball, he can take it to the house.
Cameron, we talked about Drake. We talked about Xavier Howard and his new deal. Devontae with his money next year. What about Ryan Tannehill? Is Ryan Tannehill, is there a chance he's not on this roster next year for this team?
I mean, there's a chance. I think it's a less likely chance than fans would want. Some fans, I don't want to speak for all of you guys, but, I think that Ryan Tannehill has proven what he is at this point in his career. The question always is, how long do you wait for Ryan Tannehill to be something different than he's shown you, through these 7 years? And, he's been an average to above average quarterback when he's healthy. And Dolphins have to decide, hey, are they okay with that type of performance leading them going forward? I think this is a perfect opportunity for them to draft a quarterback coming up, even in what people are calling a weak quarterback draft. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to get rid of Ryan Tannehill. He has a big cap number, and you could save maybe half of it, but ultimately you're going to have to find another veteran to replace him. So for me, if I was making a decision, I think the most likely and most prudent way to go about it would be keeping him for 2019, drafting a quarterback, letting him compete, and letting the young guy take over whenever he's ready.
Outside of, and we got a month left here, so, and we're 6-6, but I'm getting ahead. I'm going to pull a Mel Kiper Jr. on you right now. A little early, but, If you don't take a quarterback, what's the biggest need on this team right now? And I do think we need to upgrade to quarterback, but that's for 200 shows coming up here. Outside of the Ryan Tannehill topic and quarterback, what other positions are most important for this team to upgrade quickly?
Yeah, and the Dolphins are 6-6, so I guess it is still hope, you know, that things could go right. But, you know, I think for me, outside of quarterback, the number one position is probably that defensive line. Like we talked about, you not only have you not got production from them, they're 29th in sacks, they're in the bottom five in rushing defense, but you also have an aging group in there. Cam Wake, you know, is 36. I know he's a superhuman, but sooner or later you're going to have to replace him. You don't know if Charles Harris is going to be anything. You're probably going to have to get rid of Andre Branch. You're going to have a decision to make on Robert Quinn. And then in the interior defensive line, you've got guys that none of those guys have really consistently proven that, hey, they can be solid franchise pieces for you moving forward. So I think defensive line, whether interior or on the edge, is probably the biggest need outside of quarterback.
Seems like we're talking about that position almost every single year, right?
That's why you get, you know what? That's why you get Charles Harris, though. There was a reason he was drafted for all the veteran guys. Was a guy supposed to slowly overtake those guys and take a majority of the snaps? And
oh, he's
those guys
slowly
are still
doing
clearly,
something. Yeah.
Clearly better than he is. That's just a problem.
Yeah, that's got to be a disappointment for a lot of reasons. Yep.
Hey, real quickly, we get Swanson back this week. Is he back? Guy's playing pretty good football.
Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like it. He was practicing out there Wednesday. It seems like he's on track to play, which would be really good for the Dolphins because, you know, that interior of the offensive line was in really rough shape last week. You know, there were some drives where it was completely shut down. They couldn't do anything. So, you know, you get Swanson back. You probably take Ted Lawrence out and keep Jake Grindel at guard, and maybe your interior offensive line can hold up a little bit better against
I agree.
That.
Boy, I agree with that. Hallelujah. Got to get Jesse. He got that poopy game out of him, hopefully, and he's back to playing better and then go after the Patriots. Without Xavier Howard, you still think this Dolphins got a chance to win this game Sunday?
It's hard to see now. You know, I was thinking maybe Xavier gets 3 interceptions this week on Brady, and that's our story for the week. But, I mean, without Xavier, you know, somebody else in that secondary is going to have to be the turnover maker. I don't see them winning this game without multiple turnovers. So somebody on that defense, whether it's Rashad Jones, whether it's Nick Fitzpatrick, T.J. McDonald, Kiko Alonso, somebody on that back end has to figure out a way to get hands on the ball. And they've got to get pressure from Cam Wake and some of those boys on the edge. So I think that's the formula. I think it's unlikely for them to pull this victory, particularly because the Pats have heard all week about how they struggle in Miami. But they've got a puncher's chance, and I guess that's all they can ask for.
Follow him on Twitter, at Cameron Wolf, ESPN reporter for the Miami Dolphins. Cameron, thanks for your time,
Cameron,
buddy.
Cameron Wolfie.
That's not Cameron Wolfie. Stop
Cameron
it.
Wolfie. Well, hey, Wolfie man. Hey, Cameron, how do you like in South Florida, by the way, before I let you run? How do you like it?
Oh, man, I'm loving it. 80 degrees and a beach in December, it's hard to beat that.
Yeah. I didn't think it'd take a long time for you
to kind of get.
Did you come down by yourself, or we don't know much about you? You married
I'm down here with my wife.
Good.
I'm down here with my wife. Yeah.
Good, man. That's good.
Safer.
Yeah. That damn single life down here will just.
Destroy
will affect your job, so it's good.
No trouble for me out here.
Good man. Good don't you change, Cameron? Don't you change, man.
Cameron? Thanks for your time. We'll bug you again soon.
All right, thanks.
All right, that's Cameron Wolf, ESPN reporter covering the Miami Dolphins.
All right,
I like the fact that you got. I was waiting for that. I thought you might start with that. But the Wolfie thing kind of threw us off.
I tried to throw you off, man. Before we go.
If I would introduce him as Cameron Wolfie.
Don't go Cameron Wolf. It's Cameron Wolfie.
I mean, literally behind the scenes.
And you go, is it Wolfie?
As the music was playing.
You go, is it Wolfie? And then I started laughing.
It's not funny.
No, it wasn't funny.
I mean, it would have been funny, but it's not funny. I would have been, you know, so slightly embarrassed.
The reason I even bring that up, so I used to work when I first started NBC, and the guys go, if you ever want to mess with Ned Smith. Right before, Ned Smith is really good at what he did. Remember a long, long time ago, NBC, locally for sports, and they said, whatever you put in his head before he goes on the air, no matter what the pronunciation is, he'll butcher.
That's terrible.
I don't,
Ron Burgundy?
I don't break down stuff, but like, hey, the guy's name, it's not Deed, it's Deez. And we all laugh, you know, and they go, Deed Nut, you know, we do the whole thing. So he'd go out there and go, hey, it was a big day for Sammy D's. Oh, man. he just and he'd be mad. He'd go, man, dude, don't do that before I go on the air. Because I've got something that sticks to my brain. He'd have the pronunciation perfect. You could say something right before you go out on a, you know, on
you
something.
You tried to do that with me. I think Cameron Wolfe did a good job. Today.
Wolfe was good. Yeah. Hey, we got to move on here.
Radio.com.
Some serious stuff to get to for just a second here. Reuben Foster, linebacker for the 49ers, taken in the first round that came into the league with a few issues. Was cut after his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend or somewhere in the friend thing or whatever, Alyssa Ennis, is on Good Morning America talking about what happened in a Tampa Bay hotel.
Yep.
The night before the 49ers were playing Tampa Bay.
Said a confrontation between Foster and Ennis turned physical, and Foster allegedly slapped Ennis's phone out of her hand, pushed her, and slapped her in the face. They said they were working on their relationship.
Let me just say this, okay? I just look in, you know, everybody's, the domestic violence thing is serious, but like somebody got to explain to me a couple years ago. She accused him and then changed her story and said she made it up because he was going to break up with her.
Correct. Correct.
So apparently they've been together ever since that. When you would think both of them would go, this is really a bad relationship, right? Wouldn't they both go, we are not good for each other?
By the way,
to put it nicely.
You said a couple years ago. It was February. It seems like it was years ago. The one where she said she did it and then she recanted.
Oh, God, I was thinking it was longer.
I know. I'm looking in the article. It says, Ennis had previously accused Foster of domestic violence in February. She accused him of hitting her a number of times, dragging her out of their Los Gatos. Is that what it is?
Gatos.
Los Gatos, California home, authorities said. Ennis told the judge.
Home of my ex-wife.
Oof. I'm sorry I brought that up.
No.
Ennis told the judge she concocted the entire story and Foster's domestic violence charges were dropped. That was in February.
Yeah.
This year.
But don't you like, hey, this thing's really bad, and everybody in both their lives going, dude, first of all, you need to stay away from her. You guys aren't good for each other. And if she's getting ready, you're getting ready to break up with her, and she does this to you and accuse you, it's pretty serious stuff. Like, you can't have, like, if you leave me, I'm going to accuse you of domestic violence. Mm. If that's the case. And then what dumbass brings a girl on the road? I mean, you talk about slapping the team in the face in the damn team hotel. Can't make that up.
No, it's a story. I mean, that
they're equal dumbasses. They really are. Now he's wrong for what he did, and she's coming out on her story. But I got to tell you, this
is a very weird and crazy relationship between these two. Obvious.
I that's a girl going up to a guy's hotel room at 2 or 3 in the morning. Like, you know, it's wrong whatever happens in there if you don't want it to happen. But what the hell you think's going to happen when you've both been drinking?
Yep.
Think he's going up there to make small talk? Like, there's things you can do and be smart about. The counseling wasn't working.
Mm-mm.
No crap. I wanted to say the other word.
Yep. Glad you didn't.
Just unbelievable.
This is just a weird story.
This one.
How are they still together through all that?
Well, he should be kicked out of the league for being stupid.
Just an idiot.
For, you know.
Brought her to the Grand Hyatt, the team hotel.
And what's her
Tampa
family telling him the whole time? Like, honey, get out of it. He's trouble, and he ain't changing.
She said in the interview that she and Foster were very close, but behind the scenes, Foster wasn't the, quote, good-hearted person her family thought
really?
He was.
Really? Shocking. That's shocking. That's shocking going back to things that happened at Alabama. That's shocking to hear.
Yeah, it's a weird story, man. Do you think Foster plays again in the NFL?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. There's no video. The fact that there's no video on all the things that
Well, that was going to bring me to my next question, too.
And the other thing
is, whatever your answer here was, I was going to say, what about Kareem Hunt with a video?
If she doesn't have marks on her, there are going to be a lot of people don't believe her this time around. I've already had guys go, dude, you don't believe this girl. She lied once. What the hell? Every time he goes to break up with her, she's going to go, if you leave me, I'll do it again. I don't know. But
how about this?
Because you know we're guilty every time we get one of these. You're right. And a girl accuses like, oh, man, what a jerk this guy is. You know, we just automatically have him guilty.
She on Good Morning America this morning, it looks like Pro Football Talk is now watching this interview or whatever it was. When she recanted in February to get the charges dropped, she's now saying that she lied about that, that he did strike her.
Well, a lot of people thought that.
Yeah, that she did that to keep his job. Ennis said she lied under oath because she loved Foster and didn't want to end his NFL career. Quote, I did what I had to do for the person I loved. I thought he would change. Anybody in my position would do the same. So what actually happened between the two of them in February, she now says her account to the police was accurate. He dragged me down the stairs two or three times, punched me in the face two or three times, pulled my hair, kicked me, spit on me.
Yeah.
She said, I initially did say that happened, and then I recanted it, right. But it was the truth.
Yeah.
No, a lot of people.
She also said, I cannot believe somebody picked him up in the NFL, a total slap in my face.
Oh, they said they checked on it. Who knows? Those two, seriously?
Wow.
When this is all said and done, they need to really, as we say, split sheets for good.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, this is a...
counseling money and go start on a new relationship.
That's it.
Save $150 to $200 an hour.
Theirs might be more expensive than that at this point.
And go find somebody new. I don't care how much money he makes. And he's got other things to work on.
They were both obviously seeing therapists and trying to work out in their relationship. These are quotes coming out.
It's a great question. He's only got one thing going for him right now. He's got one thing going for him. And that is there's no video of any of this. Yep. And if that hotel pops up with video,
oh,
he's got a big problem. Yep. Then he may never play. By the way, they're both young guys. We're talking about a running back and a middle linebacker that are in their early 20s. So I always hate to say, hey, by the way, you're done. You're done with a shortage of great players, but
a little different than a 30-year-old, almost washed up running back named Ray Rice. Who at that point probably was on his way out of the NFL anyway, and that just solidified it. The Kareem Hunt situation is going to be interesting to watch in the next 12 months.
Yeah, but how about this guy? I mean, that there's the other one. That's like you're going, oh, he just had this this incident with he had incidents all off season.
The Redskins still picked him up. They didn't care. It's a weird situation.
No. I'm not talking about the Redskins situation. I'm going back to Kansas City's running back.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
He just, find out he's been a fight in a bar.
Yeah.
Fight in a resort. Punched some guys. Assault is like, come on, man. Like, really?
Yep.
You got to walk away or get out of situations. Or if you're going to a club and there's trouble, you can't get in the middle of it. I just he's trying to come across as this, this only time. And then you find out, no, he wasn't just girl. He and his buddies were beating the crap out of other people.
Yep. What's the city that you said the X is from again? What's that city called?
Los Gatos.
Someone just said women from Los Gatos have claws. Someone texted that in.
That Los Gatos Saratoga area is a little rough. Is that what you're saying to me up there? For anybody that's familiar with that area. It's a beautiful area, by the way.
Sure.
You know who's from there? Kiko Alonso.
Wow.
I know. I said that because you're going, wait a sec. Kiko went to Oregon, but I thought Colombian, Cuban, the Puerto Rican connection.
Sure.
And I just kind of threw you a curve on that one.
You did. I struck out.
Totally messed you up a little bit, my man.
Well, wouldn't be the first time.
Hey, by the way, we're expecting Albert Wilson.
Yep.
Dolphins wide receiver to join us in a couple of minutes.
A couple minutes from now.
We'll go ahead and stay, and we'll talk to him, see how he's doing with his hip, talk to him about being with the team. And
tell him we miss him.
Tell him we miss him a lot. we miss his. Can we just sit and just tell you how much we miss you? Yards after catch, touchdowns, ability to throw the football, and ability to run away from everybody at 20 miles an hour.
Yak yards.
20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know they got this thing now, right? Fastest players all the time. You like that? Is that sexy to anybody? Miles per hour?
To Chris Whittingham it is.
And Whitty, I tell Whit, it. Whit brings it up, and he'll, I go, the safety cannot outrun, like, it's a fast time this year, Joe. I go, no, he can't. Can't.
If Whitty's got a stat in front of him, I believe it.
He'd be great in the analytics department, oh, wouldn't
he? Yeah, he's sports science
guy.
Could
be in there
sports science. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
that's him. He's Billy Beane.
He'd be the guy taking a 15-minute nap and then run out and run the 40 to see if he's fresh and stretch later.
He'd be in the nap room and David.
All that new stuff. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Hey, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. We're waiting on Albert Wilson, and hopefully he gives us a call here. Dolphins wide receiver hurt his hip, breaking actually against Detroit, about ready to break a tackle and go on a long run, because if that guy doesn't tackle him that was chasing him, he's probably in the end zone and was leading the league in yards after catch, better known as Yak. And was really having a hell of a year, having a great year.
One half of the High Five Brothers. Remember
that's
that?
Right.
One of the best highlights all season long.
And now they're both injured.
Ugh.
And with both those guys being injured, the big play has left the Miami Dolphin offense.
That's right.
Because what it does, it helps everybody else when those two are doing their thing and breaking long plays. And right now you've just got completely different kind of offense, which struggle to get first downs and move the ball and need long drives to get things done. So anyway.
By the way, the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominees for each team just came out, and Kenny Stills.
That was a no-brainer.
Was the Miami Dolphins nominee. Congrats.
Kenny Stills on his day off does more than anybody. Just really, really active in the community. And I know a lot of people don't like the kneeling that he does, but that guy is, you talk about giving back and throwing his money in it and everything else. He has been great. I know there are a lot of guys that do stuff.
No, you're right.
Listen, last year was a slam dunk. What happened to the Texans and going through the flood. And
JJ
what,
and everything he did.
JJ, yeah. Did he win last year? I don't even know if he won,
I'm
guessing.
I think he raised 40, like, I think the total was like $40 million.
He was killing
it. Something crazy. And the goal was like 500 grand. Like he came out and said, like, the goal is like 500 grand, maybe $1 million. And then every single day he would do another video going, I know I said the goal was $1 million, but now we're going to try for two. Now we're going to try for five. Let's get to 10. Why not go for 12 or 15? And then all of a sudden you looked at the total and you went, this guy, not only man, he could be time person of the year.
He's
going to
be up
point.
There for a comeback player of the year this year.
Should be.
JJ's had a hell of a year.
Yeah, that team is good.
If he doesn't get it.
I know you don't believe in him yet, but they're good.
There's that guy in playing quarterback for Indy that's had a nice bounce back season,
too. You're right. I don't think it's a no-brainer. Because look at Luck's season after, I mean, a lot of people thought his career might be done.
The shoulder would never come back and all that stuff. You're right. But I'll tell you what. You know what's different now? You know what's so much different? The medical field is so, so much better. I was thinking about Mike Pouncey's hip.
Right.
Everybody said he was done. And the hip doctor, this guy, whoever he is in New York, is unbelievable. And he said, no, you're good.
Still playing.
He's still playing.
That's right.
We made a trade. We lost.
You're right.
Pouncey's out in L.A. playing for the Chargers and got a new contract. Yep. And everybody's like, ooh, I don't know about this, man. All those hips. He's been great, but it just goes back to the whole, look how fast guys come back from knee surgeries now.
Oh, my God. Speaking of coming back from knee injury, another guy that should be on that list for comeback player of the year, Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Another guy. There's some good nominees this year.
I just think where the medical field is right now, and it happens quietly. They don't go, hey, we got a new way to do the shoulder. Oh, we got a new way to do the knee. And it's just everything, the therapy before and after injuries, to speed up the process, the therapy. Now they've done it so much, the research with it, and these doctors they're Picassos, man. They really are. It's
technology is so far advanced at this
point. Just compared to, you know, without ripping a guy, especially since he's no longer with us, but he wasn't a very good doctor. And, you know.
How long did it used to take to come back from, like, a scope? you know, like one of those just like right knee scopes. You're, you know, clearing cartilage.
I got one for you, man. I don't know when they start doing the scope. Maybe some doctor out there knows. I know a long, long time ago, Dr. Canal was kind of one of the scope guys. But we had a guy that I don't think he knew how to do the scope, so he just opened it up and operated. And again, he's no longer with us, but that doesn't change the fact that he was a terrible doctor.
Yeah, no,
just a horrible, horrible doctor. But now you got these guys, man. First of all, you don't have one doctor for the whole body.
No.
Which was
specialist. Just, everyone's a specialist now.
You know, these guys tell you go get a second opinion and get a specialist and everything else. So, hey, guess who we got with us?
Wow, look at that. All right, joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, Dolphins wide receiver Albert Wilson. Albert, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning.
Albert, how you coming along, man? You kind of disappeared since the injury. Everybody wanted to know how you're doing.
I'm fine.
Yeah, you're coming back, and you feel pretty good. Is it pretty much on pace to be ready to go for next year? Have they told you you're in pretty good shape for that?
I'm good.
That's good. Hey, listen, let's get into everything. I want to talk about... you are the Yak King, man. I don't care what anybody says. You are the Yak King, yards after catch. If you can, talk a little bit about that, because we honestly didn't know that about you before the season started. And then you even started talking about, listen, man, I don't care what anybody says. That's what – have you always been – has that been something you've always been good at? Because I think it was a real pleasant surprise to see all the big plays you had off of catches underneath.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I'm pretty good with the ball with my hands, but, you know, right now I'm just taking it one day at a time, just trying to get back to it.
Yeah.
So I wish I could continue to do that.
Well, listen, man, the team, as you know, misses your little sidekick, too, your high-five buddy down there. By the way, did anybody give you a picture yet of you and Jakeem high-fiving each other after you ran by everybody? Did you get that? You got to get that picture for the wall, man.
Yeah, I got a couple of them. I got one hanging up right now.
You guys kind of started some. I saw some other teams tried to do it, but first of all, you got to have two cats that can really run to outrun everybody like that and embarrass them. I thought that was really cool. The other one I got to ask you about is they started this thing miles per hour. Are you familiar with that? Like, they now know how fast guys are running when they take off and run for touchdowns. They got you up around 20 miles per hour, man. That's I don't know how fast horses are. Brother, that's flying, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah, man. It's pretty cool that they do that, man. And it's fun to see how fast you're actually running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought that was really cool, and everything else. By the way, you're coming back home, you're playing here again. I just really curious, has it been what you thought it would be, especially the start of the season before the injury, and the way you really fit into this offense and the way Adam Gase used you?
Yeah, man, it's actually something that I never thought of, to be in this position and for things to go how it's going is definitely beyond my expectation. I'm loving it. I embraced it, and I'm here to continue what's going on and continue to build on my success to have a great career in Miami.
Well, on top of that, I didn't know you could still throw the rock like that, man, too. We didn't forget about that, man. Talk about ways to use a guy. Putting the ball right on the money like that. Did you work on that a lot in practice? You still throw it around? Because that was right on the money, your sidekick there.
You know, I try to pretty much throw every day because I think I'm a quarterback. But we worked on the pass a couple times. Not too many, but
yeah. Enough to make it work for sure. How hard is it to watch games, man, when you can't play? I've been there on injured reserve, and it sucks. Yeah, you don't feel like a part of it because you're not out there, but you see your offense struggling from time to time. How many times you leave the stadium going, damn, I know I could have made a difference? Does that pop up from time to time?
More so early in the injury. You know, I was thinking I could have did more, and how couldn't I've got hurt to, you know, to continue to help my teammates win. But now, you know, I talk to the guys almost every day, and you know, I still feel like I'm part of the team. You know, I help out as much as I can, and try to make adjustments with the guys of what I've seen and whatnot. But I'm not too down about it. I still like.
Man, you sound good. You really do. You know, it's yeah. good to hear you, man. Like, I can tell you're getting better, and it's good to hear you, man. I just think people. Boy, I tell you what, people love what you did, and man, can't wait to get you back out there and get this thing going again.
Definitely.
Albert, you got a big thing going on Tuesday, by the way. Mod Pizza and Pembroke Pines opening up the grand opening celebration. It's Tuesday, December 11th, and they got some good things going on that day. They're going to open up at 11 a.m. The first 52 customers who come to the restaurant are going to get a free pizza, but I think my favorite part, they're donating 100% of all the pizza sales to the Albert Wilson Foundation. Talk a little bit about the foundation and what's meant to you.
Yeah, man, it's, you know, part of my childhood growing up, I spent in foster care. So my foundation is based on, you know, helping foster kids, you know, live a better life while in the system. Just, you know, mentoring programs, you know, just doing things that's like turkey drives, you know, like Christmas giveaways with foster kids, you know, just try to get them to have the smoothest, you know, time in foster care while they're away from their family, trying to adjust to a new family. You know, scholarships to out-of-state schools. It's just something that, you know, that I've been through. And, you know, little things that I feel like could have went smoother. I'm just trying to hear to make it go smoother for someone else.
That's good stuff, Albert. That's really good stuff.
Albert, what you've been through. By the way, man, don't think people don't know your story and what you've been through. And, by the way, what you've overcome to where you are right now and being able to give back and be a role model for a lot of people going through foster homes, and by the way, maybe bad experiences in foster homes that that they got a chance, got to make you feel pretty good, man, what you've been able to do and what you can do for others now, huh?
Definitely, it does.
All right, so that's Tuesday, by the way, December 11th, 11 a.m. They open their doors. It's Mod Pizza's grand opening celebration. Albert, you're going to be there around 5 o'clock that day to meet and greet with some of the fans out there. And like I said, the first 52 customers who come to the restaurant are going to get a free pizza, by the way.
By the way, we got to load that pizza up, though, right?
It's got to have
meatballs and ham and bacon.
All kinds of stuff.
It's got a meat lover's meat.
That's right. And Albert's going to be there at 5 o'clock that day. It's the grand opening, like I said, it's at 11255 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines. Albert, we'll see you out there on Tuesday. I appreciate your time for a couple minutes this morning. Yeah. Thanks for talking about the foundation also. Love the
story.
Thanks,
Albert.
Thank you.
All right, that was Albert Wilson joining us, Miami Dolphins wide receiver coming back from a big injury. Hopefully get him back next season, all ready to go.
Not very talkative.
Not very talkative
about this thing, right? Good guy, just not very talkative.
Probably just should have went right to the pizza
stuff. He just gets right to the good stuff, man.
That's it.
He's a great guy, though. I'll tell you what a hell of a pickup, man.
He's been awesome when he was out there.
Everybody was wondering about when they got him, and he was on pace. Listen, look at his numbers, what he was on pace for. He was going to be flirting with 800,000 yards.
Yep.
And listen, you don't have to throw it to him down the field. You can throw it underneath. And
no,
we
saw that.
He just chews
slot. King of the yak.
He chews slot cover guys up. He'll be chewing up in pizzas, man.
That's right.
Good pizzas, for
That's
sure.
Tuesday at the grand opening of Mod Pizza in Pembroke Pines, by the way. He'll be there at 5 o'clock.
All right, listen, we're going to do a lot of yapping coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.
Radio.com.